Okay, so also welcome to those of you who are listening to this after the session. I'm going to talk about suspending judgment. In his book, What the Buddha Taught, Walpola Rahula writes the following. In mindful meditation, there is no attitude of criticizing or judging, no right or wrong, or good or bad. It is simply observing, watching, examining. You're not a judge, but a scientist. When you observe the mind and see its true nature clearly, you become dispassionate with regard to its emotions, sentiments, and states. Thus, you become detached and free, so that you may see things as they really are. In observing one's mind dispassionately, the meditator is practicing non-attachment to judgments and beliefs, suspending judgment. In Buddhism, there are many reasons why suspending judgment is considered to be important. Here are two. First of all, anicca, that is, impermanence. If everything is in flux, in process, then judgments must always be being revised to keep pace with a changing world. Therefore, it's important to be non-dogmatic and non-absolutist, being open to changing one's mind and being always ready to listen to and take account of alternative opinions. When we're truly mindful of impermanence and change, we're less likely to believe in and hang on to fixed, unchanging judgments. A second reason for suspending judgment is pratitya samuppada, that very awkward term that's often translated as conditioned arising, that is, conditionality or interdependence. If everything is interwoven with and dependent on everything else, then we would require knowledge of every side of an argument and all aspects of an issue or subject to arrive at a definitive judgment. But as we can't be aware of all aspects or all the conditions that give rise to a phenomenon, and because they're always changing, then it is best to suspend judgment. Also, judgments themselves are relative. Good only makes sense in relation to bad, right to wrong, pleasant to nasty, like to dislike. The Buddha seems to have been very careful not to make dogmatic assertions and to question and show to be invalid dogmatic assertions made by others. He kept an open, dispassionate, inquiring mind, encouraging us to avoid making dogmatic assertions. Holding on to notions that this or that is the absolute truth, or I am right and you are wrong, is about closing the mind, fixing things, terminating inquiry, the opposite of dispassionate inquiry. One key aspect of the teachings about Zazen or mindful meditation of the 13th century Japanese Zen teacher Dogen is that when we sit and attend to what is going on within and around us, we're aspiring to see clearly and precisely, with no secondary acts of discrimination and attachment clouding our perceptions. When we're mindful in this way, we pay equal attention to the whole field of awareness and thus gain an insight into the harmony of the whole. The danger here is not that we can focus on details or parts of the whole, for it's necessary that we discriminate between things in order to negotiate our way in the world and to communicate with each other. The danger is rather that we come to believe that the world is actually fragmented and compartmentalized. Dogen argues that to believe this is to be deluded, and Buddhism is, above all, a path to awakening from delusion. Dogen goes on to say, think of neither good nor evil and judge not right or wrong. Here, he advises us to suspend judgment, to step sideways from the act of coming down on one side or the other of an argument or proposition, or, if we need to make a judgment, to ensure that it's always provisional and open to change in the light of changing circumstances. Dogen, like the Buddha, argues that as entities, including ideas and propositions, are all interdependent and cannot be separated from their context, it's therefore unwise to act as if they can. And this is precisely what we do when we cling to one proposition or definition as if it was the only truth. If the universe as a whole is a manifestation of interdependence and interrelatedness, then no part of it, be it a tree, a person, or a proposition, can exist independent of any other part. Thus, any proposition, belief, or judgment must inevitably be partial and relative, rather than absolute or comprehensive. By suspending judgment and belief, by not taking up dogmatic positions in arguments, we can develop an attitude of continuing inquiry and openness to all possibilities, free to change our mind as the world changes around us. The equanimity that is said to accompany this open-ended inquiry is dynamic and intellectually playful, characterized by a suppleness and openness of mind. Tolerance and even-handed acknowledgement of diversity and difference seem to be consequences of this mindful suspension of judgment, a striking alternative to the closed intolerance that arises when we maintain dogmatic attachment to particular beliefs and values. In the light of what I've been suggesting, it's important that we recognize the dangers of attachment even to ideas of non-attachment, or to the idea that suspension of judgment will somehow produce enlightenment and equanimity. Dogen points out that to practice mindful meditation in order to achieve peace of mind or enlightenment is itself evidence of a dogmatic attachment to an idea or a belief, what he calls a gaining idea, an approach that will often hinder rather than aid our aspirations for freedom and awakening. Hence, Dogen's advice is to sit just to sit, to be mindful just to be mindful. In this way, practice is awakening. When I find myself being drawn into arguments or disagreements, I try to keep in mind two sayings. One is, hold lightly to your beliefs, for someone somewhere thinks the opposite. And the other one is, always aim to be mindful, balanced, open, and kind. Needless to say, there are many occasions when I forget my own good advice, but that's life.